Hey, everybody. Joining us now on News and Views is Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. That's right, the National Farmers Union. You remember him. He was ag commissioner for the state of North Dakota for a lot of years, a leading voice when it comes to agriculture, and now he finds himself on a national stage. Roger, always good to have you on News and Views.
Good to be with you, Joel.
I need to know something. How in the world do you bring this Congress back to where the attention should be in many cases, which is on farm policy for this nation, when words like Syria keep taking up all the oxygen in the room?
You know, it doesn't matter whether it's Syria, whether it's budget, whether it's farm bill, whether it's water projects, whether it doesn't matter. I mean, this, the House in particular, has become just really dysfunctional. And it is, you know, we've been at this farm bill now since spring of 2010, still trying to get this farm bill passed. And it's just crazy. I mean, Syria is just the latest distraction. And honestly, the Syria thing is, it has no more impact on whether they're going to pass this farm bill than the man in the moon. I mean, they have plenty of time and plenty of opportunity to pass the farm bill, to pass all the other things that they ought to be doing if they just settle down and do what they're elected to do.
Well, but
and they
it goes to a fact, Roger. I mean, we've got a congressman in North Dakota that never ran for his party's nomination, aligned himself with the Tea Party movement in North Dakota, ran around that convention, and then said, you know what? I want to be the Republican nominee. I'm going to take it directly to the people, and he won. So clearly his political strategy was right. So then it comes time to legislate. He votes to divide the bill so that the allies of the bill leave.
Terrible.
And here we sit. And now he does an interview saying he doesn't like the Tea Party, and he thinks it's stopping us from legislating. So you tell me how we get our arms around this.
He's right on that last point. I mean, if there's anything that pretty much everyone in Washington, D.C. agrees on, it is that the Tea Party has really managed to, in a major way, gum up the works and prevent anything from getting done. And as much as Speaker Boehner gets beat up for this or that and the other thing, I mean, can you imagine trying to run any kind of a caucus where you've got a significant chunk of your caucus that just refuses to do anything? I mean, they think they were sent to Washington to vote against everything. And as a consequence, you can't depend on them to move an agenda, even through the Republican caucus. And he's been unable at this point to put together enough of a coalition with the rest of his Republican caucus and at least the, you know, the center, the moderates of the Democratic caucus. And why he hasn't been able to do that, I don't know. I think dividing this farm bill was an enormous mistake. Farm bills always have passed on a bipartisan basis. Dividing this thing, stripping out the nutrition title, alienating all of the people who eat the food that we as farmers produce, I mean, that was a senseless move, and everyone opposed it. I mean, Bob Stallman, the president of the American Farm Bureau, and I were both on absolutely the same side of that question all the way along. We both opposed splitting. We both want this thing done now. We want the nutrition title reunited. And so, you know, it's really a mess, and they're going to have to, the best they can do right now, in my opinion, is to kill this idea of passing a standalone nutrition bill with these enormous cuts to the food stamp programs and school lunch programs and all those sorts of things that are in the nutrition title, and then simply name conferees and go to the conference with Senate and you can put something together.
What drives this, Roger? What drives the visceral hatred? I understand the Tea Party doesn't like government in any shape or form, but what drives an Eric Cantor? And he was just in North Dakota. He was invited here by Congressman Kevin Cramer. What drives an Eric Cantor to block whatever Speaker Boehner does? What drives him to literally hate this president?
Yeah, I don't know. I I don't know that I can answer that question. I don't know if anyone can answer it. I don't even know if Eric Cantor could answer that question himself. But, I mean, it's crystal clear that the whole strategy here from the very beginning was to divide this bill in order to kill the bill. It was to kill the farm bill, any chances of getting a farm bill passed. And, you know, I continually talk to the staff and other folks here in Washington and plead with them to listen, just focus on what we can do going forward. What's the next step that we can accomplish to try and get a farm bill done? And in my judgment, the most important thing right now, we just got done yesterday. We finished a fly-in with 300 people from around the country that came in. Our goal here is to try and kill this nutrition-only bill that Eric Cantor insists on bringing up on the floor of the House. And if when they do the whip count late this week, early next week, and if they will conclude that it's going to go down badly, maybe they won't bring it to the floor. And they will simply say, okay, I guess we're not going to get this part done. Let's just go to conference. That's the best hope we have right now. If they pass this, Joel, if they pass $40 billion in cuts, in kicking millions of people off the rolls, including veterans, kids, senior citizens, doing that will make it almost impossible to ever pass a bill. Because here's the way it's going to play out. There's no way the Senate is going to agree to $40 billion in cuts. There's no way the president would agree to that. So it goes to conference. And what comes out of conference is something less than 10. Now you bring it back to the House. The House has to now pass this conference bill in order for it to get sent to the president. How many of these Republicans who were pushed into voting for $40 billion in cuts are now going to be able to turn around and say, oh, I guess 10's enough or 8's enough?
No.
You know, they're going to be accused of flip-flopping. And so you lose almost the entire Republican caucus. And now you're going to try and depend on the minority Democrats in the House, who frankly didn't want any cuts because of the situation of the economy and unemployment across much of the country, this fragile recovery that we're in. They don't want any cuts. And they'll countenance, you know, some, but tens more than what I think many of them will countenance.
Well, that's one of the reasons I called you, though, because, you know, how do you do your job? I mean, the North Dakota Farmers Union, I'm going to be with them in Jamestown on Monday. I know Woody took a contingency of people out there, and I'm going to get, you know, his take on that visit. But, I will tell you this. I don't know how you do your job. When a Lucas and a Peterson go to the floor of the House, Republican and Democrat alike, who have passed good, solid food legislation for this nation, and they tell people, this is it. This is where we need to go to the bargaining table with the Senate. Don't mess with this. This is a fragile coalition. And then farm state congressmen who later on bring the very architect of dismantling that to their home state, don't fear that from farmers. You get results like I got the other night. And Roger, here's what happened to me. I had an individual I respect a lot the other night look at me and say, you know what, Joel? I've worked for farmers. I've been around farmers. Farmers are my friends. But why in the world are we sitting here having a fight over feeding kids with a mother who's out there all on her own trying to raise them, making $13 an hour, and she's got three kids, and I'm sitting here worried about farmers when they don't worry about themselves. He told me, he says, on your show, quit beating up on, or quit sitting there supporting farmers all the time. He said, start supporting that mother. And I'm like, you know, and it's really struck home with me when I laid down that night.
Joe, that guy's right. I mean, in this coalition has always been about putting the farmers, the environmentalists, the conservationists to the conservation titles of the Farm Bill, and the consumers, folks who are struggling financially, together in one bill over what is common, and that is food. Farmers produce food, consumers eat food, hungry people need food. And for those who argue that there should be no connection between the nutrition title and farm bills, I think, man, how fundamentally are we missing the point that they don't even understand that food comes from farms? But to your question about how do you do the job, you know, you just have to keep talking about what's going on and what makes sense and hope that at some point Congress is going to become functional again. At some point it will, Joel. I mean, I believe that this democracy will eventually sort this out. And
I want to ask a question about that, though, because I can hear in your voice you've always been a doer. I mean, you were. You were in the minority in North Dakota, and yet you were able to get good things through for farmers. So I want to ask you this. Will it take President Obama, because we have 3.5 years with the visceral hatred that the Eric Cantors of the world have for President Obama, will it take him being out of office before the Republican majority in the House actually does something? Is that what it's going to take, President Roger Johnson of the National Farmers Union?
I don't know. I mean, at some point, it's going to get sorted out. Here's an interesting factoid. A lot of folks view Farmers Union as leaning more to the left, being a bit more with the Democrats and the Republicans, even though we are a nonpartisan organization, just like they view the Farm Bureau as leaning a little more to the right. You know, what is interesting is that we engage with Speaker Boehner more frequently than he engages with Eric Cantor. I mean, the problem that exists is a fundamental leadership problem in the Republican caucus. And now, is that about Obama or is it about the Republican leadership problem? You know, it might be more about the latter, Joel. What does that say about how the Congress is being governed when the Speaker, the number one leader of the Republican Party, and the number two leader of the Republican Party in the Congress don't communicate?
Well,
wants the number one guy's job.
But it tells me who I'd align with, President Johnson. It tells me that if I am a farm state congressman, then I need to be knocking on the door of Speaker Boehner, and I don't need to be doing photo ops with Eric Cantor.
Well, boy, you said that right. I mean, really, and neither one of them have been friends of farm bills. I mean, the first time that Speaker Boehner, at least in recent history, maybe in all of his career, ever voted for a farm bill was when he voted for both of the ones, the one on the floor this year that failed, and then the farm-only one. What that tells me is that the Speaker really wants to get this thing off his desk and over and done with. He's tired of it being this political football and exhibit A on why Congress can't get anything done. And so he's doing what he can, but he's fighting even his own caucus as much as anybody in trying to get something done. And so that's the dysfunction. Think of this, Joel. All of your career, all of my career, when we would think about Congress, you always think of the Senate's the place where you can't get anything done. They got the filibuster. They got anybody can stand up and stop progress. They got the 60% rule in order to get anything done effectively. And the House is where you always got stuff done. In these last number of years, that's totally flip-flopped.
Yeah,
I mean, the Senate's the place where you go to pass legislation, and the House can't get anything done because the only thing they pass in the House is straight-line partisan stuff. You know, let's fund Obamacare 40 different times. I mean, how many times do you have to vote on a bill that's going to go nowhere?
Yeah.
Before you understand that it's going to go nowhere.
National Farmers Union President Roger Johnson and a longtime friend to agriculture. Last comments, Roger. I know you're on a tight timeline. How how do we fix this? Well, for the farmers listening out there right now, what can they do to help you to make sure we get the crop insurance we need to make sure that we're not risking the very thing that we all worked for?
You know, anything you can do to contact members of Congress, your member of Congress, other members of Congress, you have to do it. I mean, Joel, you know this as a former elected official for a number of years. When constituents call, it makes a difference. You pay attention to that. And I think a lot of these members of Congress have just not been hearing from farmers. Times have been pretty good for farmers these last 4 or 5 years.
I believe you're onto something there, because we've had this debate on News and Views, and we have as many farmers listening to us as anybody times 10. And you don't hear in their voice any concern about whether or not a farm bill passes, Roger. You don't.
Well, I mean, look at it. I mean, you got record high prices. You got record farm income. You've got a strong crop insurance program that when they do have a disaster, it helps to keep them in operation so they can farm another year. I mean, times are very good for the cash grain operators. Livestock, whole different story, because they're facing much higher feed costs and the drought and all that kind of stuff. But historically, the livestock farmers have not been the big beneficiaries of government programs anyway. And so they've not been as noisy about trying to get something done. And, you know, farmers, I tell you, eventually these prices are going to go down. All we need is one bumper crop. And look at the drop in the market just this year because the predictions of a bumper crop, and now we're seeing that scale back a bit, and so maybe it doesn't drop quite as dramatically. But what if you take these prices and you drop them another $2 or $3? I mean, you're suddenly going to find a lot of farmers in a real pinch financially. And then they're going to wonder, well, why didn't we pay attention when folks were debating a farm bill and trying to get a safety net in place so that if the market collapses, there's going to be some level, even if it's a low level, of price protection.
Yeah. Roger, as always, thank you. Thank you for your time. Thanks for what you do for agriculture. And between you and I, we'll help keep beat the drum.
All righty. Thank you much, Joel. Take care.
Roger Johnson, president of the National Farmers Union. Let's go to Terry Spees and find out just exactly what's happening to our weather out there. Terry?